The Lord be with you. A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to John. Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper, and had said, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that that disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things. He has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord. This past Wednesday, we celebrated our IC school graduation from fifth grade. And after Mass, I remarked to Deacon Christopher, "Graduation season is over." Seeing his puzzled look, I thought I'd better explain. In other words, our non-Catholics graduated at Easter and became Catholic. Our second graders graduated, making their first Holy Communion. Our teenagers graduated, making their confirmation. Our elementary, middle school, high schoolers, and college students have all graduated. Whew. Now we can finally rest. But Deacon Christopher corrected me, adding, "Not yet. We still have the graduation to the diaconate and the priesthood." And he was exactly right. Today, Josh Osborne will be ordained a deacon, the last step before priesthood. And five deacons, including Deacon Christopher, will be ordained as priests next Saturday, May 30th. In other words, no rest for the weary. Graduation season does not end until the ordinations of our new priests for the diocese. What a glorious celebration that will be. How fitting then, as we come to the penultimate day of Easter, tomorrow is the last day with the celebration of Pentecost, that we read from the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Why is it so fitting? Well, earlier in this chapter, Jesus gives, in effect, his commencement speech to Peter about loving him more than these and feeding his sheep. And now we hear how Peter and John, always obliquely referred to as the beloved disciple, graduate from disciples to apostles, and therefore represent the two great Christian vocations, the active life and the contemplative life. Let's look a little closer at this intriguing, even if brief, dialogue between Peter and Jesus regarding John, the beloved disciples, and their graduation. We read, "When Peter saw him," meaning John, "he said to Jesus, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus said to him, 'What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours? You follow me.'" Now, many interpreters take Jesus' words, "until I come," to refer to the end of the world, when he comes back in glory. Maybe that's how you were thinking about those words. But clearly, Jesus has not returned in glory. And John died 2,000 years ago. So was Jesus mistaken? Or worse, did he deceive his disciples? By the way, this is not a small difficulty or discrepancy in the Gospels. Jesus repeatedly states his intention to return rather soon. In fact, in Matthew, Jesus states explicitly, "This generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." As a result, some Christians, unable to square Jesus' words with the historical record, have lost their faith in the Lord and left the church. But one way to square this circle is to understand Jesus' words to mean not the end of the world, but the end of a world, meaning the Jewish world, which occurred in 70 AD with the destruction of Jerusalem. The Jewish world effectively ended. In other words, we must learn to interpret Jesus' words and teachings on a more liturgical and supernatural way rather than a literal and scientific way. In a sense, this difference of interpretation is precisely the dividing line between the Old and the New Testament. How so? Well, in the Old Testament, concepts like king, kingdom, power, glory, temple, sacrifice, and priesthood all had earthly evidence. King David conquered territory, military muscle, a glorious temple, etc. You could touch it and taste it. You could see it and feel it. There was scientific proof. With the dawn of the New Testament, however, Jesus inaugurates an even more glorious kingdom, temple, priesthood, and sacrifice. But now, you need the eyes of faith to see it. There is no scientific proof. And I would suggest to you that this new way of seeing, thinking, and living is the most important graduation ceremony we have to go through. In other words, is our mindset one that requires everything to be proven scientifically, like Thomas, who demanded proof of Jesus' resurrection by needing to put his hand into his side. I have to touch him. Or can we accept things on faith and believe in them sacramentally? Put even more pertinently, all the other graduation ceremonies we just celebrated, first communions, confirmations, becoming Catholic, completing elementary, secondary, and college degrees are all but precursors and predecessors of the only graduation ceremony that ultimately matters, namely graduating from the Old Testament to the New, from a world built on facts to a world built on faith, from a universe where the highest authority is science to a cosmos where the highest authority is sacrament. And when you see and think and live that way, you can graduate from being a disciple to being an apostle, because only then will graduation season finally be over. Praise to be Jesus Christ.